untapped talent on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to it. This is Untapped Talent right here on cliffcentral.com. Thank you so much for having us on. It is a Friday unlike any other because everyone is chuspered up and excited. And how else can you not? Because listen, you're listening to Sia on Cliff Central. It's one of those things in a very modest way. And as we move on, thank you so much for having us on. This hour is all about just chatting to inspiring people who have a lot to say and are like-minded. And no offense, and I hope they aren't freaking out as I introduce who they are. But I'll be talking to Fortunate, who I actually met a couple of years ago, who's a young person who's really out there, who has a lot to say, and it's a lot of productive, inspiring stuff. And, you know, I've been having vocal lessons with her surname as well, but it's all Venda, and I like that. Shirangwana. Shirangwana.
I think we need more lessons, okay. But it's okay. It's okay. Good try.
T-S-H-I-R-A-N-G-W-A-N-A.
Shirangwana.
Shirangwana. Chirangwana.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I just want
to
sound Venda. Just give me
just,
that.
Just go nda, and then
nah,
you'll be okay.
There we go. I'm on the road with that. And also just a little later, I have singer Miss Cal join me. So she has a new song. It's called Mr. Mean. And it's all like, ooh, I want to find out what that means. Like, who is mean and what influenced her to make a song like that? But anyway, these are the people who I'm so glad to have on the show. I'll be chatting to them in the course of the hour. And if you want to add into the conversation in any way, shape, or form, you know what you can do. You can always tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at @C_SF. Or you can send us a message on our official WeChat account. It is cliffcentral. Just tap connect and then message to show. And your message will pop up right in front of the screen. We can read that out. So without wasting any more time, I want to kick it straight off and get real into the nitty-gritty with Fortunate. Fortunate, we met like a couple of years ago. I think it was 2012.
Was it not 13? I don't know.
Yes, one of those.
Yes, 2012, 2013.
We were both still in high school, and I like to say we were both still law-abiding citizens.
I still am.
Oh, well, I
need to keep my visa, so.
And this is the internet, so we'll live on forever.
Exactly.
So let's say nice things. We were both in youth councils. For you, have you always just been that sort of young person who's always going out there and wanting to make a difference in any way, shape, form?
I think because so many people have made a difference in my life that I can't help but make a difference when I can, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can someone like put in like info and opportunities and skills and give you all these workshops and scholarships and you not do anything with that? I think it's like, I don't know, I've always wanted to help out. I've always wanted to take every opportunity that comes my way. How can you not help? Like, how can you?
So we're born and bred Joburger.
Yes, I love it.
And we're three older brothers.
One older, two younger.
Uh-huh. And so with a full house like that, though, who are some of the people that you looked up to growing up?
My older brother. I think he joined council, so I joined council. He was head boy, so I was head girl. He's doing engineering, so I'm doing engineering.
So it's like, I just want to be as cool as you.
No, I'm just like, I can do this better. So no, I don't know. He always set like a really high standard and I couldn't help but try and meet his standard. Mm-hmm. And also because he's such an amazing person, I also want to be like him.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to take part in organizations that helped shape him to be who he is today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as much as yes, at first you were drawn because it's the cool fact and you wanted to just be like your brother. For example, when you went into the Johannesburg Junior Council, though, what did you feel as it slowly started to unravel about the change that such a council, a junior council, can make?
I think for me, it was honestly the people. It's the fact that I had kids who were my age who were so determined to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that totally changed the whole experience for me because I'm with people who are just like 16, 17, 18, who want to go and organize marches for equal education, who want to collect books, who want to build libraries.
Yeah.
That just opened my mind and I was like, well, I'm young, but I can still make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just when you're in an environment like that, you can't help but want to help and want to do better and also want to be better yourself.
Wow. And then let's talk about your achievements because, you know, let's just go straight into that. Especially just in council, your position on council was?
So I was the deputy head of the contact committee. So that's like the people who organize like the social unity events for the council.
Yeah.
That was lots of fun. I didn't get to wear a robe, so I wasn't cool. I wasn't cool enough to wear a robe.
I feel like that's still a sore point for you.
It Why is. You know, but when like... I graduate, it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'll keep that robe walk around with it. Make up for lost time.
But mind you, these are teenagers, you know, who have this sort of infrastructure of a committee and a leader there, and you have these positions and you're going out there to do a lot of things. Did you never ever feel like maybe this is not in my realm of possibilities. Maybe I just need a bit of life experience, or I need to learn more. Or have you always just been a person who there's really nothing that can stop anything that can stop in your path?
I don't think I've ever been like, I can't do this. Yeah. I think I was always like, well, I'm going to try my best. And if my best isn't good enough, then that's not on me. That's on the opportunity. So maybe that opportunity wasn't for me. But what I really enjoyed about council was that whatever we set our minds to do, we did achieve. So, I mean, it was just like, it wasn't like, oh, we need to get life experience or we're too young to organize a march. It was like, you're going to go call, like, the Metro Police. You're going to go find, like, a street path. You're going to go do this. You're going to go do flyers. It was like, it was so simple. It was just like, here's a plan. Let's execute the plan. It wasn't, oh, we're too young or the mayor won't listen to us. Like, our leaders, the Evs, like, we call them the Evs because it's both Evra and Evril.
Yeah.
They literally didn't do anything for us but facilitate and make sure meetings were run on time. But we came up with ideas. We had to find context. We had to go and call. We had to pursue. And I think that opportunity just made me realize that, you know what, the world's my oyster. I can do whatever I set my mind to if I work hard and I execute my plan and the steps that I've set before me.
So what are some of the projects that you undertook during your year in council?
Oh, we organized the Equal Education Youth March that started all the way in Newtown at the Mary Fitzgerald Square all the way to the Constitutional Hill. We did, Stop Hunger. So we packed a few food packages for Stop Hunger. We opened up a library for Orange Grove Primary. We did a lot of things. We did workshops for debating. We did an environmental cleanup. We helped 702 walk the talk.
Shucks.
Yeah.
When you look at it in retrospect, you actually like, can you believe that you did this?
And like, it's like, I don't know. It's not, we did. Because I couldn't have done it on my own. True. And I wasn't like the president or like the mayor of the JJC.
But you made it happen.
But we made it happen. We made it happen. And that was really, really cool.
That's talk about young people going out there to make a difference. So that was while you were still in high school. I think you were grade 11.
Yes.
And what are your plans after council, after such a successful year? You've been doing so many like groundbreaking things, literally, as a teenager. Was the world your oyster?
Well, after council, I had like a real sense of like, I need to give back. I need to do something. I don't know. I just remember getting home and I have all these books because I love reading. Uh-huh. But I'm not the type of person who likes
favorite
to read.
Favorite all-time book?
I don't have a favorite. That's my problem. I don't have a favorite song. Don't have a favorite color. Don't have a favorite. I have a favorite food. It's cake. But that's it. That's it. Anything else is just like no favorite anything.
Let's do a top three favorite book of all time. Top three favorite books.
Americana by Ngozi Chimanzi.
Yeah, now actually, I'm really putting you on the spot.
What?
Now I'm really putting you on the spot.
You really are. The Anthropology of an American Girl. I don't know who's it by, but I got that like at some free event and I got the book and it was really, really good. It like, has some really, really good points in it. And also The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that book. It was good.
All right.
It wasn't a fantasy book, but it was a analysis. I really, really enjoyed that.
An analysis, she says. Oh, okay, wow. Yes, I interrupted your trail of thought. Yes.
Oh, so I got back home and I had all these books and I had gone on exchange and they like taught us how to like execute plans properly, like using like people in power. So I was like, I really want to refurbish a library at like my old primary school because they had a library like back in the day, but when I was there, they didn't have a library and they have like this massive room. So I talked to people at my school and I got a whole bunch of girls to collect books and donate all their books. And then I got, I don't know, like over 2,000 books donated. And then I got Walton's to sponsor me some plastic to cover. And I used that plastic and I got the girls at my school to do it as community service. So they helped, being head girl helped. So I like the last day of school, I was like covering day like for all three consecutive terms. And then I got Plascon to donate paint. And last year, because the library took like a year to do so in my matric year, and then last year when I was out of school, I got KPMG to sponsor it for Mandela Day, and then they came and they painted and donated a carpet, and they donated like beanbags and computers, and then like we had this whole opening with Mandela's grandson, so that was pretty cool because like that was like something I did after council and like how council spurred me on. So it's basically like the brainchild of what I learned at council and just.
But what I gather from you, Fortunate, is really there's like a bar of what a lot of people achieve. Then you just go above and beyond that bar. You are raising the bar until there is no bar anymore.
No, it's just taking every opportunity that comes. I told you I don't say no to things.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm just like, oh, like you guys need help. You guys need books. Okay. And then as soon as I say okay to something, I say yes, then I can't help but not do it to my fullest potential because it's going to have my name on it. And I like nice things. So obviously.
What does helping out your fellow, I don't know, teenager, coworker, person you go to school with, what does helping mean to you?
I think it's anything as a, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Giving someone a smile, to giving someone a book, to giving someone money, to helping someone with a lift, to helping someone with homework. Because I'm a maths tutor as well. So it's like,
oh, wow. What am I doing with my life? I'm here pushing buttons.
And you talk a lot. So that's okay. That's good. I talk a lot too. Okay. So,
Thank you for making me feel slightly better.
I think helping anyone is like, literally, I said in one of my applications or something, like it's even just a smile to someone on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It makes their day. Like it's just a, oh, you look nice. Or do you need help with anything? It's just literally, I don't know, just doing something else, doing something selflessly, regardless of how big it is.
Like. Yeah. So I genuinely think I do, you know, it's absolute truth when I say the world is your oyster. So you grew up born and bred in Joburg, yes. And then you finally decided, you know, just moving casually to America would be like a good idea. So you went all the way to Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Lehigh University.
Yes.
And you are studying what there?
Industrial and Systems Engineering with a minor in entrepreneurship.
This is doing wonders for my ego. How exactly did we land up in engineering?
You know, originally the plan was medicine, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I have friends who have gone to UCT for medicine and they are passionate about it. Like they really, really are passionate about it. And yeah. I just didn't have that passion.
I
might have had the brains, but the passion took me 7 years.
I have a friend who's, you know, going into medicine as well at UCT and wants to be a surgeon. And he once sat me down and explained with joy on his face how much he loves the thought of being able to peel someone's skin off. And I was like, this is what you see on CSI. That is horrible. So I totally get the passion thing. Yeah.
So the next best thing, not necessarily was engineering, it was because my brother was an engineer. So I was like, I'm never going to be an engineer. No, originally I was like, I'm never going to be an engineer. I'm never going to do civil because I don't have time to be wearing a construction hat and just like getting burnt in the sun.
Yeah.
That is not me. Like, I don't enjoy buildings, like building things and construction. So I was like, no, that's not engineering for me. And then I found out about industrial and systems engineering, which is just basically the maximization or optimization of anything.
Yeah.
So it's like a maximization, optimization of a factory, of a media company, of a hospital. Literally, I can work in any field. And all I do is optimize the building using various systems and various methods that I've learned. And I was like, this is challenging. Like, this is fun. This is like a puzzle. Does not restrict me at all. So I don't have to be stuck in construction or stuck in chemistry, but I can actually go into fields that I want to like make a difference in, and I can optimize like businesses or whatever. So I was just like, this sounds like it's something like that's right up my alley. I can be in a boardroom. I can interact with people. I can come up with ideas. I can present. That's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I like coming up with a plan or a solution and then executing that. It's the same thing with my community service. Like I like coming up with, I see a problem, find a solution and execute it.
And that's exactly what...
industrial and systems engineering is. And then I was like, oh, but I really enjoy business and like being creative. So let me throw in an entrepreneurship minor in there. So you can minor in anything. So first, I was going to minor in like poli-sci because I'm really into politics and like the world and like Africa. And then I thought Africana studies.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no. Then I was like entrepreneurship because like it's really the course, like the diploma side of it is like really, really hands-on and you make a business module.
As long as you didn't choose like Latino studies. Which
I was thinking of like drama, but then my mom was like... and my brother was like, girl.
You're not going to win this fight.
And now, so I was like, let me make everyone happy because I'm away from home. So I don't want anyone to, you know, be beefing with me across the seas.
Exactly. But you know, I feel like you're the perfect person to have this discussion with now. I love South Africa 100%, but I'm also realistic about our situation and our circumstances. And I do feel as great as we are and as much as we are making progress, we aren't in an environment that promotes excellence, you know, promotes us really trying. You know, you get 40% and that's like okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not bashing my maths teacher, but really I had a maths teacher who said, Sia, you know, maybe maths isn't for you, because really she helped me. I was like, yeah, you know, as soon as they put the alphabet with the numbers, I got lost. So, but I'm saying in America it's slightly different, where I feel to a certain extent they encourage excellence and not just coasting through. What do you think?
I think South Africa has a lot to prove, right? So mm-hmm. we need to get our economy jacked up. We need to get our tourism jacked up. Like, we need to get ourselves as, like, number one, like, in Africa. Like,
yeah.
I mean, everyone knows this, but let's be honest. Like, Nigeria's economy is booming.
Oh, yeah.
And all the kids who go study abroad are coming back. South Africa, I think we're just coasting through. I think America is big enough that it can have aspects of people who strive yeah. and aspects of people who don't. I know kids who don't want to go to college because in America, you can be like a truck driver or like work in a department store and you can still own a house and you can still have a car, still like live comfortably.
Yeah.
In South Africa, not so much. I can be a truck driver, but I won't be living in like Bramley or Melrose or Sandton or yeah. like Northview, you know, like for that type of lifestyle, you need to go to school, get a degree or like have a really, really good job. So that's the only way that we are able to do that. And it's mostly through education.
Yeah.
Whereas in America, there's so many opportunities and they encourage you to be like your own self. You need to be an individual, like an individual. We read a book in English called Generation Me, mm-hmm. which is basically about America and how like this new generation is all about themselves. It's all about what you can do, all about what you want. It's like, oh, I am special. So there's the iPhone, there's the like the iPad, there's the, you know,
Generation Me. The
whole generation, man. I think because of that, Americans just, I wouldn't say that they strive for excellence. I just say that they just, it's a big country. I mean, they have a time zone in their own country. Like, it's a big country. So you,
once you put that sort of like, perspective on it,
it's a big country. So that you have a whole like variety of people and yeah. a whole variety of institutions that mold certain people. Whereas we're smaller. So like you can see, like, I'm not saying that 40% is great. Like, I think it should be back to 50 and like you should push. Mm-hmm. And I think that also just, that's also due to your circumstance and your parents pushing you. Like, my mom's a teacher, so like you can like imagine from the get-go, I learned to read before I went to school.
Oh yeah.
So my mom is very like pushing everyone to do the best that they can do, not necessarily to be the best, but to do the best that you can do so that you don't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, I think it's, you have kids who grew up in that environment and you have kids who don't. Some kids don't even go to college. Some kids go to college to find themselves and do stuff like Africana studies, like they can.
Yeah.
Whereas here it's not so much. I think here it's like everyone just wants to do the degree that pays the most or where they get a scholarship to, you know? It's
yeah.
just,
I know it's not necessarily fair, quote unquote, to compare South Africa to America, yeah, no. but it's just one of the things of you have to draw some sort of similarities or differences to it. Because with me, I once heard this and I thought it was so spot on that South Africa, there is a chance in South Africa to break new ground
yes.
and to build a future for yes. yourself. Whereas America, you're literally going there to be a maintenance man.
Yes.
Because there's not much innovation that you can get up to in America. Everything has been done.
I think it's like America, the UK. I have a friend in London and she's originally from Angola.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's studying economics and like, I don't know, like some other, like MIDA. And she said she wants to come back to Angola and do things like open a hotel chain, because there isn't a hotel chain. Open like a mall that's like Sandton, because you have the demand for it, but you don't have it there. Like, why would you go and then go and like compete with Hilton or the Sheraton in like London when you can go to Angola and open one for yourself, you know?
Mm.
Like, why would I go to America and like try be the CEO of Ernest and Young or whatever when I can come here and have a good chance of starting my own financial institution?
Yeah.
So I think the Africa has like a whole variety and like a whole host of opportunities, where America, even though there are opportunities, you are competing with everyone from everywhere because everyone wants to go to America.
Yeah.
So you're competing with graduates from America itself, from outside of America. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, there you really need to be like, you know, people or like really maximize your opportunities. And with that being said, I want to work there for like a few years to get experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a shame to go and study there and not get experience. But literally, like at the end, I want to come back home. Like, I want to come back and live here and work here, because like I love South Africa. I think we have a whole lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just thinking about all the people I know who are at school, or all the people like you who are doing stuff. Like, imagine where the country would be when we all like, I don't know, 50 and leading and actually like the heads of our industry.
Yeah.
Like, I think we give South Africa such a shortfall because of the people who are in power. But if you think of everyone that's going to go get educated, that's going to be masters in their own field, imagine when they get to the, like, parliament. Imagine when the kids, look at Lindiwe Mazibuko, she just graduated from Harvard.
Oh yeah.
Imagine when she gets into like, when she gets into parliament, when she gets into government, all the knowledge that she will have.
Yeah.
I just think that we just, 20 years, 22, 23 years is a short time, like 25 years, whatever. Like, it's a short time to try and measure.
We still have a long way to go.
We have America has like over 200 years of independence. Like, we have a long way to go. And like, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen.
Fortunate for president.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was getting very riled up for you.
I can't do, like, I can't make the difference that I want to in like, the position of president.
You can make definitely in your own capacity.
No,
your
I would
own
like
platform.
To be the head of the AU, though. Nudge, wink, wink. But that's okay. We'll
to all the right people.
To all the right people listening. Yeah, like, call me.
But what is happening in America, Fortunate? What is happening in America?
I just...
You Where know, do like, we even begin? Because I'll have to say...
One thing is this whole hashtag All Lives Matter, hashtag Black Lives Matter. I had a conversation with a friend and I said to her, she's African American, and I said, All Lives Matter. Because I was like, you know what? Black, white, this and this, All Lives Matter. We had this whole conversation. She was like, no, Fortunate. Black lives matter because white lives already matter. And black lives don't matter. So you can't say all lives matter when black lives don't matter. So then she was like, black lives matter. And I think after we had that conversation, then I really realized that the situation that's happening in America is completely different to what happened in South Africa. And my view of race and institutionalized racism, completely, completely different. Like, it's hectic. Like, I have friends who says, like, he said when he was growing up, he couldn't do the things that his white counterparts could do. He says, we couldn't go around, like, during Halloween and, like, I don't know, like, throw eggs at houses or whatever. Because at the end of the day, he'd be the one going to jail.
Yeah.
Even though it was a prank that his white counterparts could do. Like, it's like, we couldn't play with water guns and, like, run around. Because, like, what if someone actually thought it was a real gun?
Yeah.
You know, and then I was like... That's completely, like, hectic. Like, that's completely different to what I was like, all lives matter, black, white, thinking of, like, the TRC back here and how...
Yeah.
It's completely
what I'm
different.
Struggling with, I think it is because we almost, to a certain extent, we look up to America as this great, model of perfection. We should be like this. But the essence, the true things that should matter, they aren't getting right. You know, I read an article the other day about... You know, this hashtag all lives matter versus Black Lives Matter. And they said taking the black out of it is just like saying, instead of saying we support our troops, it's just saying we support all our people.
Yeah.
We aren't saying that you shouldn't support all people, but we are saying that special attention needs to be paid to the troops for awareness, to know what's going on. And that's exactly what is happening with black people as well, I think.
But my thing is, like, America is very much about awareness. Okay, it's this whole like hashtag Black Lives Matter, but what is actually happening to like combat this awareness, like to actually do something with all the awareness that they're spreading. So same thing with the hashtag Bring Back Our Girls. So much awareness about this, but what is happening? Like, and it was, I think it was literally spurred on by American celebrities, like this whole hashtag Bring Back Our Girls, but nothing was done. And it's the same thing with hashtag All Black Lives Matter.
I will have to say, maybe I'm being too much of a devil's advocate here, but I will have to say that at least it's a step in the right direction.
I think so, but I think if you're America, you should be doing more. Like you said, we look up to America.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think you're America.
Yeah.
And there's so much media coverage, not just only in America, but worldwide as well. Because what I realized with America is that there's media coverage within America, and there's media coverage from what they get about the whole world. They're very much like really inclusive, like very much about everything happening in America as opposed to everything happening in the world. And the little that they do get from the world is like, oh, like I didn't know this was happening in Africa or Boko Haram or whatever. Like also like Ebola, like really, they were like really like they didn't know what was going on. But I think with all that's happening, the fact that the whole world knows about it, it's become that big deal where it's become international news, not just American news. And I feel like as America, it's something should be happening. It can't happen from last year and have all these high-profile deaths and still have the same deaths.
It's a snowball of something, and something has to happen.
Something
from Trayvon Martin to Sandra Bland, something has to happen. Yeah.
I mean, just before I came back, at end of May, there was this video about this in Texas where these kids were having an end of year pool party, and there were some black kids there, but it was at a white person's house. And
I
like
heard about
the
that.
Way they manhandled that girl, after everything we've heard and all the videos we've seen and all the police have got into trouble, you still go and do that?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Like, are your bosses not telling you to follow
and
protocol?
I love how they actually compared it to the person who, the white kid who shot 9 people in the church, about how he was
misunderstood.
Yeah, we could go
misunderstood off. White boy, whereas like the other kids are just like, well, he's a thug, and actually no, he was on his way to college.
What must fucking happen? Like,
you know, it feels so weird because like when I'm there, I can't exactly, not that I can't voice my concerns, it's just they make you know that you are South African or you are African and you are not American.
And what does that mean?
So it's like, I don't know, I personally have felt that. Like on some issues, they don't necessarily value your opinion because they think you don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's really hard to comment as like a foreigner on issues like this for them to actually like really care. I don't know. It's really hard. It's just like my friends are like, oh no, that's good. But you like, you African, like you don't really get this. Like you guys don't have this in the Netherlands. There's a whole bunch of black people anyway. And I'm just like, okay, yeah. But we went through apartheid. Like I know the after effects of what institutionalized racism can do to people, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to be like, well, you guys need to do something. Like,
yeah.
You guys need to take action. And they're going to be like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't lived in this country. You've been here for like 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. You feel like a bystander. And they make you feel like a bystander. And they make it known that, not that you're not wanted, but that you're not from here. So you can't feel our pain or you don't know what we're really going through.
Yeah.
So it makes it hard. But I mean, I'm just like, yo, I went through apartheid, but like I come from a country where this was on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
But I didn't live through it. So like I know the after effects of it. I know how it is to try and interact with your white friends when maybe your parents still have a few prejudice like stuff going on. So it's like I kind of know what's going on, but I was like, I can help you guys, like I can give you guys my opinions on how to get through it, like dialogue, like I think speak to the people about
exactly.
it, find out about what
you need
to thinks.
Speak through things
you need to speak need through to. And they don't. So I was just like,
I think the true silver lining is that at least awareness yes. is definitely there. You know, me just living in South Africa heard about the Sandy Hook tragedy. And to realize through that, the discussion of gun laws, and oh my goodness, well, Piers Morgan isn't just crazy, but he's actually speaking about something that isn't good and something yeah. has to happen. So yes, awareness got that down. Everybody was hashtagging Bring Back Our Girls.
Yes.
Everyone from Russell Simmons yes. and, you know,
Michelle Obama.
I heard Alicia Keys did a march, even though not a lot of people picked up for that. I think, you know, it's all about awareness, but now it's about this next step. And I definitely do think with people like you in America.
Oh, goodness.
No pressure, but I do believe that that's the way to go, and you know there will be positive change out of it.
We'll see. I'm definitely
no. Now I feel like I was about to wrap up the interview, but I'm like, no. Now we need like an optimistic.
I don't know.
I'll
definitely
way.
Come back and like run the AU.
Okay. Yes.
But like America's big.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you for
look
having.
At, look at how like 30. It's not even 35 minutes. It's just like. Flown by that quickly.
I think we talk too much, but
it's a good thing
sometimes.
Yeah, I'll have you back on before you like leave us for good in America. Oh. Again.
Thank you for having me.
What's next in the life of Fortunate, apart from being in Lehigh University all the way in Pennsylvania enjoying the East Coast weather?
What's next? Hopefully a few years working in New York. I don't know, maybe a few marches, maybe
yes.
a riot, some protests. I don't know. I'll let you know. When I say yes to something, I'll let you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. And then just, I don't know, maybe might bump into, if you just bump into my real mother, Oprah Winfrey, just say, hey, Mom O, Sia at home is looking for you, but it's fine. We'll move on. Thank you, Fortunate.
Thank you. Bye.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. Cliffcentral.com.
Last regret, and it burns like fire, holding on too tight, cut to the bone. Better than the sweetest love, this pain I know. Love can't be so easy. Addicted to this affliction, I am my own contradiction. For you are pain, you are pain. Cycle. say if I asked you to stay? What would you do if I needed you? Would you turn around and call me a fool? To me, maybe I need this time to tell you I'm losing, I'm losing, I'm losing, I'm drowning, I'm in love, and it hurts like hell. But I wear it well. I could talk about a million miles an hour, saying nothing. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Say if I asked you to stay, what would you do if I needed you? Would you turn around and call me a fool, Mr. Me, Mr. Me? See, I could talk about a million.
A little bit of a different twist right here on Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com. Talk about a soulful Friday. It's Miss Kelly with Mr. Mean. Good morning, Miss Kelly.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to leave the song in the background just for the sake of, you know.
Mellow Friday.
Exactly. Okay, let's get to, there we go. Done and dusted. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me right here on Untapped Talent.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Listen, we just played your song, Mr. Mean, and I actually mm-hmm. want to talk about it first and foremost. You, of course, are the vocals on the song, but
yes.
You also wrote it.
I did.
And I have to say, that is one of the things that I always look up to artists
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
You know, when you write your own material, because
mm-hmm.
those are your own memories, your own experiences, and then you send it.
Yeah, your own feelings, all raw and out there.
Shucks. A song
exposed.
Like this, how long did it take for you to like actually get complete?
It was really quick because I was really hurt.
Ooh,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened in my life.
Are we going to talk about
yeah.
the Mr. Mean? Do you want to name and shame him?
I will never name him. He doesn't deserve to be named.
Wait, but then you're going to yeah. have a situation. I think it was Adele
mm-hmm.
who didn't name the people
mm-hmm.
that she wrote the songs
mm-hmm.
about. Then
mm-hmm.
all her exes were calling her
it's
like,
already
I'm
happening.
Sorry.
It's been happening.
Is it?
Yeah. No, if it's like, is it me? I'm like, no, it's not you. Yeah. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure.
What sort of experience do you go through in writing this? So you feel the pain, and how
mm-hmm.
do you eloquently actually like?
Well, it's like it's poetry to melody, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you write it down because you're just expressing it and letting it out.
Yeah.
And then you put it to song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did this whole journey start off with you?
With the music journey?
Yeah.
Gosh, when I was a kid, I've been singing forever. I've been writing since I was about 16.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But professionally for about 2.5-3 years now.
At 16, did you know that you wanted to take it professionally?
Without doubt. My parents were like, never going to happen.
Oh, what do they want
Don't
from you?
Don't think about it. Like, go to school.
Yeah.
Be serious.
Professor?
Yeah, you know.
Or something or the other.
Exactly.
Exactly,
yep.
With my previous guest, Fortune, we were having this discussion of like, no, in America, they encourage you, you know, they call you the undergrad,
yeah.
like your degree to find yourself. I was like, that would not fly
would
in South Africa.
That would never work out over here.
It would never.
Like, parents would be like, for what?
But
you're
doing
did what?
You know, it's not even a discussion. But did you actually get into studying music?
I didn't. My parents said no to that as well.
So it was very, very adamant.
There was no two ways about it. So I went and studied psychology and sociology in my undergrad. Ended up getting a master's in something
How?
Else entirely. Ended up working in a different field. And then I was like, I need to sing.
Were you gigging and like writing?
I was not doing
in
much
the
gigging at all, no.
Not at all.
I was writing a lot,
uh-huh.
you know, kind of making my music to myself, for myself, singing in the shower.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm always very intrigued by songwriters as well, who, you know, they'll say they have a catalogue of, like, in a year they wrote 70 songs, but then in an album you get like 12.
Yeah.
So how many songs do you think you have, like, under your belt?
Honestly, more than I can count. I'd say over 500, I swear. Yeah. But some of them are rubbish. So some of them should never be heard by anyone.
It takes a big woman to say that.
It's the truth, though.
Do you still remember, like, the first song you tried to write? At, like, 16.
I actually do.
Was it just about, like, the rainy day you were having?
No, it was actually pretty intense. I was a pretty deep child. I was, like, I was pretty intense. I was into a lot of Jewel and Sarah McLachlan at the time. So it's kind of very folky sounds then. But now that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel a change in your songwriting and based on your life experiences and your influences as well?
Definitely. I mean, I'm definitely writing more stuff that is a little edgier now than I was before.
Yeah.
And also, the older I get, the more okay I'm with being vulnerable and kind of exposing the vulnerability.
Yeah.
So the music's becoming more real, I think.
And is it more a thing of it's okay not to be okay? Because with average people in society, it's just like you want to be perfect, you want to look good, you want to ambition. Mm-hmm. Whereas with songwriting, you want to represent a whole spectrum of what people are going through.
And oftentimes you're kind of looking at the pain side of things. You know, you actually want that pain, you want the vulnerability, you want the hurt.
Yeah.
That often tends to speak to people more than the happy, happy stuff. You know.
But isn't that tough when you finally release it as well? Because I'm sure it must be anxious, doesn't even begin to cover it. I'm sorry, I don't want to make you feel
Thanks
anxious
so much,
now.
I appreciate it.
I just realized as I was saying it, I was like, oh, she's probably going to feel horrible now. But how does it feel when you finally get a song and you release it out there?
I've gotten better now. But initially, just like anyone hear my music was really tough. Because you're exposed. It's like you have to kind of say, I'm a target, feel free to tell me it's rubbish, you know, and that can be really tough.
Yeah.
But now I've kind of got a bit of a thicker skin now, you know.
So. Do you read any reviews or comments about you?
I try not to. Because the negative ones just make me feel like rubbish.
Yeah.
So, no. Ideally not.
Who does Miss Kelly go to for support?
My family is pretty awesome, actually. Uh-huh. My parents, they've come around now. They're like, yes, sing songs. It's good.
So after you got a master's, and after they were like, okay, she has
something
like, to fall
back on.
People
were like, oh, she can actually sing. She's not too bad.
So it's not just a phase.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost.
And they thought it was a phase. Yeah, so now my family's been awesome. They are great support. My siblings are pretty damn awesome as well.
Do you come from a musical background?
Not really. I mean, not formally. My parents are into music, but no one in my family does anything professionally in the music space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your greatest musical memory growing up?
Wow, it's interesting. As a kid, so I grew up in Germany, and
my goodness, your story just gets interesting. What were you doing in Germany all of a sudden?
I was born there. I was there for 10 years. My dad was an ambassador for Lesotho.
Guten Tag to you too.
Guten Tag.
That's all I know.
That's great.
Guten Tag and Schnitzel.
That's fabulous.
I think that's.
I'm so impressed.
I just lost all street cred.
Completely.
Okay, so growing up in Germany.
Yes, I grew up in Germany. So yeah, my Tepotula came to Germany to record an album. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid, my dad and him were playing golf in the backyard.
Casually.
And I remember just like picking up balls and throwing them. And they were like, no, bring the balls back. That's about it.
All right, okay. Not having...
Oh dear.
Not actually knowing the golf club.
I have no clue. I was just having fun.
Tiger Woods-esque way of life. Got it. But it must have been a very unconventional childhood then.
I don't think so, no. It was pretty normal, actually. I mean, I was there in Germany for 10 years, and it was comfortable as home. Nothing was, you know, it wasn't like upheaval or anything like that. But moving from Germany to South Africa was tough.
Because I'm sure... At that stage, you had a sense of who you are or
completely.
In the process of.
And that context,
And it's a culture shock of note.
And I came in 1994. So timing was just like not great.
How was it growing up in Germany pre-94? How did Germany feel towards South Africa?
I was too young to even know.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea anything was awry, to be honest, you know. So when I got here, it was like, whoa. Like, literally, whoa.
Where did you move to?
Joburg.
Okay.
Right here.
The hub of everything.
Yeah.
And were you aware of it instantly as you came?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. I suddenly became very aware of my blackness.
Yeah.
Which was weird for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I survived.
No.
And I'm good now.
No. Because all I'm now thinking about is imagine the songs that are going to come out of her. But growing up in Germany, she probably has a song written in fluent German. Then she writes about the airplane ride.
I must say that my German now is gone. Because I never speak it.
Oh, yeah, true. You don't. It's
and
like something
grown.
You need
it's
to
been
exercise.
A while. It's, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's Miss Kelly as a musician? Is she someone who likes to experiment with different sounds?
Definitely.
Given her different experiences?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I love different types of music. Like, my music collection is ridiculously, like, diverse. Mm-hmm. So I love to pull in different genres and try different things out and experiment a lot. So dubstep, you know, kind of some rock stuff in there sometimes.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So this is like my soul stuff right now, but there's other stuff coming. It's going to be a bit off.
If we were to push shuffle on like your iPod, what sort of artists would we find?
Wow. Well, right now I'm having a huge love affair with Sam Hunt.
Sam Hunt. Yeah. Never heard of him, her?
There's the Rihannas, there's the Beyoncés.
Yes.
There's obviously Sarah McLachlan's and the Jewels.
Uh-huh.
There is some traditional music, some Budaza.
Okay.
You know? So
So really it is
crazy.
A wide spectrum.
Everything, pretty much.
My definition of musical diversity is like from Taylor Swift to like U2. That's as far as I
stop. That's really lame. That's pretty bad.
Listen, I think
just
I have
ashamed of yourself.
Says a musical impresario to me. On that note, I always think it's quite interesting where people stand on this little argument.
Oh dear.
What do you think of Taylor Swift?
She's a phenomenal songwriter.
Okay.
She is. She's a great songwriter. I mean, she is really skilled and she's really focused as a musician.
Uh-huh.
So I've got nothing but love for her.
Even with the 1989 album, you know, she was stereotypically very country.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's moving into mainstream pop.
Well, it seems like that's where her heart is. I feel like, you know, when you start as an artist and you're signed to a label, often you're directed in, you know, certain genres you should be doing. I think now she's kind of feeling free to do what she wants to do. And as an artist, I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
And so that's the reality, though, of the industry. As much as it's showbiz, there is a business side to
it.
How do you, or where do you draw the line of, you know, you as an artist versus now you have to make a business out of this?
Well, look, I chose to be unsigned and independent because I want to be creative and be in control of my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But I totally understand that it is a business. So I can't just release anything willy-nilly because, you know, I like it. I've got to check that it works in the music space right now.
Yeah.
So I'm very much aware of that kind of stuff. In the same breath, I think being a creative is the first focus.
Wow.
Yeah, it has to be. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know?
So do you ever feel like making like a commercial hit is just like selling yourself to the devil almost?
No, you need to survive. You need to eat.
Okay.
So, like,
so you do see the reality
of it.
I'm
totally aware of it,
yeah.
You know? But I don't think I would be booty popping and, you know, shaky shaky.
Yeah.
That's not me. Even if it's sold, I would not be doing that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there is a line. You know.
Because I think people already know this and they probably hate me for this, but my go-to example is Jason Derulo's Wiggle Wiggle. I'm like, nothing says
Jason Derulo. Yeah, go on.
And I just heard he's coming to the country.
Way.
Did you?
Yeah, no.
Let's have a moment for that.
Let's do that.
Moments of silence. Moment passed. Thank you. I really don't know how to take it. It's just like, how do you sit down and you start to put words
and you
onto
write that
paper
nonsense.
And that is what you put out?
The worst part is it's so catchy. That's what bothered me the most. I find myself like humming along. I'm like, no, don't do it.
His trumpet song is what I really felt like. I am horrible. I'm horrible against society if I'm singing along to that.
Yep.
It's absolutely a no-go zone. But also, you know, we just had Donnell Jones in the country. Mm-hmm. Trey Songz is coming along as well.
Okay, I'm a fan of Trey Songz, I won't even lie.
Okay, so you are genuinely excited about that?
I'm a fan of the body more than anything.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, so.
Tony Braxton, Babyface
yes.
are coming to the country.
Yes,
Jason Derulo later on in the year. What do you think of South Africans' perspective or take on international acts?
That's an interesting question. Whoa.
I think it's a fair question.
I do think generally South African consumers prefer international music to local music. I think that's slowly changing, which is a good thing.
How does that make you feel as a South African artist?
It's a challenge. It's good. But it's good, though. I'm happy to, you know, try and change people's minds and be part of that new movement of musicians in this country who are kind of pushing. The quality is getting better as well. Our music is actually at the point where we can compete internationally.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. It's a good time to be a musician, I think.
And you don't mind that, for example, we have a Donnell Jones and the whole country goes crazy over him. No offense. But then he cannot fill any sort of venue out in America.
Yeah.
You know, we had, if you watch the Braxtons and their reality show where Tony has, you know, very open about her troubles and her bankruptcy, then we are so up in arms and so excited about her coming
to
the country.
We are loyal. So if you loved someone growing up, you kind of stick with that person. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. I think it's a good thing.
All right.
Yeah.
You just made me see things in a whole new way. Because at first I was like, no, why are we just getting like the scraps of America?
No, I don't think that's what it is at all. honestly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll accept that. Because I was like, where's Beyonce coming to the country? We don't get Beyonce, but we get Donnell Jones.
Although, to be fair, apparently Beyonce is very expensive as well. So bringing her out is like a thing.
Well, you know, they can say a lot about Mr. Razzmatazz, but Mr. Razzmatazz was potentially going to bring him.
That's the truth.
I'll support Mr. Razzmatazz.
Just for that.
That's all it is. Do you think that we are loyal to our own musicians, though?
I think it's turning around, you know.
Okay.
I can't honestly speak as if I'm someone who knows a hell of a lot about it, but I do think that things are changing. And if you just look at the number of musicians who are selling crazy amounts in terms of like albums,
yeah.
And no one buys albums anymore, but people are buying these albums.
Exactly.
Someone like iFunny, for example, I mean, he sold how many in like one day? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a turnaround. People are getting more supportive and they're kind of feeling like they are part of the process, I think. You know? So like I said, it's an exciting time to be a musician in this country. You know, I think I'm looking forward to exploring different things and trying to see just how much people here can be loyal to musicians. Yeah.
So talk about that's a very interesting way to look at things. It's a whole new different perspective because I was just like, I was just all horrible about the thing. Casper Nieuwes filling up the dome.
Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing, it's a great goal to have, you know. I hope he reaches it.
Because at first, you know, I had to say, you know, I finally started off saying I think he wanted to go gold. I was like, ish, guy, got a new good luck,
you know?
But it actually happened.
Yeah.
So now, at first, I was also on Casper filling up the dome, but now I think
it's possible. Look, it scares me because the dome is huge.
Exactly.
So it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But hey.
But they always say, if your dreams don't scare you, then you aren't dreaming big enough.
True. It's one of those things. Right. What's the point? No, look, I hope he does it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
Just in wrapping up, though, do you think South African artists are viewed in the right way? Like, are you respected enough?
Look, it's early days for me, so I can't really speak on that. I think so. Yeah, definitely. I think people are respecting South African artists, South African music writers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that a lot of South African music is now going international indicates just that. So yeah, I think so.
Okay. I see. Very above the line. Gave me good, straight up answers. I can't say anything more about that.
Yeah.
Where can we see you headed in the future? What's like your ultimate?
Take over the world. Obviously, I want a Grammy. I mean, let's be serious about
that. Have you already like pinpointed out like your duet with John Legend and how that's going to work out?
You have no idea.
Who's your ultimate duet artist?
There are quite a few, if I'm honest. John Legend is definitely on that list, though, without doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think anybody. It's just one of those.
I think we should give him a call. Let him know. You know.
Because I casually have John Legend.
You never know.
I'd like to think I'm very well. Like I dot my I's and cross my T's. But having John Legend on speed dial is not the
yet.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Everything that's
happening. But definitely Grammy.
For sure. Uh-huh. That has to happen. But keeping it local, obviously, you know, I want to do well in this country first. Mm-hmm. You know, and the collaborations have to come as well. I love to be based in the UK, doing stuff in the UK. I love British music.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love the way it's headed. So, yeah, just being a creative and being true to the music.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, last one.
Last
because I'm very, very biased against this. Janet Jackson has come back with a new single, No Sleep, and she's going on tour. I have a very soft spot for Janet. What do you think?
I love Janet. I was at her last concert here. She was amazing, phenomenal. Yay for Janet.
That's why I'm going to give you a good recommendation now. Where can we get more details on what you're up to? Where can we follow you on social media?
Check out Facebook at Official Miss Kelly, and that's MSKELLE. No Y's.
Okay, no Y.
Yeah, don't.
And there's no
Y.
Beyonce thingy on the E. Miss Kelly.
No. Miss Kelly, just E, okay. Straight up. Yeah. Twitter at Miss Kelly. Instagram, uh-huh. Official Miss Kelly. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Okay. Yeah. So Mr. Mean, definitely doing well. Any other singles that we can look out to?
Mr. Mean is the number one official single.
Excuse us. There we go. Going out there and making waves. Thank you so much for stopping by
this
morning.
Thank you for having
me. What an awesome, awesome person.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to my guest, Fortunate, as well, for stopping by. And most especially, thank you for listening. Until next week, we're doing this again, 9 till 10 a.m. right here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye-Stillwater, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Stillwater, we are one.